Let us pray. O gracious and holy Father, give us wisdom to perceive you, intelligence to understand you, diligence to seek you, patience to wait for you, eyes to behold you, a heart to meditate upon you, and a life to proclaim you. Through the power of the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please have a seat. Somehow, by coincidence, this week in a conversation with a customer, our subject started to go about how things could be better if only there could be more. And during that conversation, he started to tell me this joke. So, about a man who died. So upon his death, this man stands before God, and God tells him, "I have observed you through your life. You have been a loving husband, a good father, and an exemplary citizen. You have always took time to help those in need and help your community." "I have good news for you," says God. "You are going to heaven." This man responded, "You know, God, you can send me wherever you will. I'm just angry with you. All my life, I have prayed to you just for one thing. To win a million. Not 2 million. Not 20 million. Just one measly million. And did you ever grant it to me?" "No." "So do what you will with me. I'm done with you." God suddenly fumed up and exclaimed, "Stop right there, you miserable dimwit. I have given you plenty of chances to win that million. But how are you going to win it if you were so stingy you never even bought a lottery ticket?"
Is that the joke?
Yes.
Just checking. I'm so...
It was... Well, I really was trying to sanitize the words there. But the way that this subject had unfolded suddenly struck me, particularly because we have scripture today about prayer. Because if such a joke exists and there's the understanding of that people have in society about what it is about fulfilling desires and what it is about prayer, then today's scripture is definitely worthwhile examining, as we hear from the letter from the apostles today, is that we find all the lessons we need in the scripture. Because I thought in that moment that, what did I ever pray for? And did those prayers ever come to be? I do know that in some times in my life, when I was really hoping for a change, that change never seemed to come quick enough. And Jesus today reminds us of the great generosity and care of God in answering our prayers. This message is hopeful. He starts off his parable. "There is a judge that lived in a certain city, who neither feared God nor had respect for the people." I think examining characters will be helpful in this situation. Jesus is very specific that this judge is a symbol of injustice. We are reminded that this judge has a sole discretion to rule and make judgments. He can either help the widow or he will not. Now, in those days, in Jesus' time, such a position was known and present in the society. It was actually contrary to the Hebrew law, or the law of Moses. By tradition, in Hebrew law, it required for all judgments to be done within the community by three appointed judges or elders. So the elders, two of the elders would represent each party, the plaintiff and the defendant, and one elder was, a judge was independent, and the idea was for them to reach a balanced decision, to find truth in deliberation. This single-person judge, on the other hand, was an appointee by either Herod or by the Roman rulers to keep discipline in the society. This kind of a position of a judge was known under a name of Dineh Gazerot, which meant a judge that forbids or punishes. What is even more telling, that this position specifically was known among the people under the name Dineh Gazelot, which was a difference of only one letter. But the meaning had changed tremendously, because now it meant the judge that robs. And then there is a widow. A widow is a character that perhaps doesn't need much explanation. She is powerless and helpless. She doesn't have money or influence to sway a judge's decision or to even compel him to act. All she has is her persistence. I would even say that these characters are more than simply distant people or characters in time and place. A judge represents an unfair circumstances in life, and a widow a powerless person in the face of such circumstances. But she is persistent, and her persistence is to reach a goal of justice. The curious thing about the word justice, and I looked into several biblical translations, for example, in the King James Bible, the word is used is actually avenge, which speaks of vengeance. But justice itself, as we have the word, actually comes from Latin, and it resembles the Greek word that was used in Scripture originally. That sense of the world meant something else than the judicial explanations we can think of today as administering punishment for crime. In the ancient Greek sense, justice meant something that is set right or correct within a society, something that was natural, something natural as in life-giving. She says, "Grant me justice against my opponent." I think this is where details start to change in the meaning and essence of petition to God. Unlike the character in the beginning of the joke, a very sanitized joke. The widow asks for justice, for things to be set right. She doesn't ask for more. And setting things right is important. I think if we understand justice as punishment or retribution, or vengeance for that matter, I start to miss the point of the prayer. In the story, the unjust judge finally gives in to the determination of a persistent widow. It's actually a sidetrack here. Interestingly enough, we actually have the sanitized version of the translation here, because when the judge says, So that he will grant her justice so that she may not wear him out by continually coming. In the original Greek, this was a phrase that could have been translated as, she will give him a black eye. Yeah. Jesus points that the God is not like the unjust judge. God will grant petitions to those who ask him, and will not God grant justice to those chosen ones who cry to him day and night? God listens and wants to help his children. He's not responding because he's afraid of the black eye. But there is that word about justice. God will grant that which is right, not something that is simply wanted. He will make things right for each one of us who asks, prays, and makes it known to God. This is the good news that Jesus is telling us. But it also points to God not being a genie in a lamp who's going to grant wishes, any wishes. The reality also is that we have life, and we have conditions of life. And we have our time, which is really short and quickly passing. So things for us may appear like the unjust judge, unmoving. Jesus then asks, will he delay long in helping them? And that's actually an interesting question as well, because it is a subject of grammar of how this is translated. This can also mean that this sentence may actually mean a suggest different possibilities for translation. It can also mean that God will grant, that will not delay, but will grant things in due time, in the right time. In the following sentence, word quickly actually means in the correct time. And I think there is a purpose to that. For example, winning a million, will this be the right thing for that person that asks? What if that person who that asks for a million has a spending issues, or for that matter, addiction issues? Will such a prayer be the fulfillment of justice and make things right? Or will it give the opportunity for destructive tendencies to grow? I searched in my own heart and my life experiences, and I believe I can understand what that means, at the very least for me. Some time ago, for example, I started to pray for God to find that one and true love in my life. And it was for years. I've actually forgot all about that prayer. Things started to get busy. There was the postulancy, there was the internship. I moved to a new city, and really I just didn't have much time to even think about it. The prayer of life kind of waned as well. And then I met Helena. It was actually 2 days a year ago where we first met in Vienna. It was actually by the end of that trip, with some struggles, I said for the first time in my life, I love you. And I mean it when I say that the answer to my prayers was my treasure. And I am sure that future is not without rough waters. But I am tremendously grateful to God for having brought us together and for having answered my prayers. And I know there are other examples that I can mention. But in this situation, I really understand what Jesus teaches his disciples in the parable today. Pray always. Pray ceaselessly. And give room for God to do what is right for you. what is just for you. For only God truly knows us more than we know ourselves. Only God knows when and how is the right time for us. And while it may seem sometimes as a very long time, it is the right time for the right gift. And sometimes it is hard to remain dedicated in the face of uncertainty. And Jesus knows it full well that it is hard. This is why he ends with a question in his parable. Despite the good news that he gives to us, will the Son of Man, when he comes, find faith on earth? So let us open our hearts to God and do our best to maintain our faith in the harsh conditions of life as we pray. Let the healing grace of your love, O Lord, so transform us that we may play our part in the transfiguration of the world from the place of suffering, death, and corruption to a realm of infinite light, joy, and love. Help us see your work and grace in this world and not be lost in our self-centeredness. Make us so obedient to your Spirit that our life may become a living prayer and a witness to your unfailing presence. By the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.